You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 49 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we look back at the disappointing draw with Bolton and ask whether or not Javier Hernandez can keep his place in the starting 11 after scoring a vital goal in Valencia. In addition, we welcome Colin Randall from SaluSunderland.com to the show to preview the weekend's match against Sunderland.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net. Or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Welcome to what is episode 49 of the RedCafe.net podcast. As usual, it's me, Stephen Darwin, and I'm joined by Dan and Dov. Guys, how are you this week? Dov, you're now in Italy. You've moved over to Italy, so how's that all settled?
Italian bureaucracy is not the best thing in the world. I have had multiple trips to the internet store to get internet. I have had meetings with bank managers, had to phone bank managers. All is not easy in this country, I'll say that much. But hopefully in the next week or two, once everything's sorted, I should be fine. So we'll see how it goes. And the weather's nice, which is a good thing.
What do you class as internet store? Like, just go and buy internet pack and then just...
Well, mobile internet. I don't want to mention any companies by name, you know, because they're not paying me for that. But just think of top brands in the UK, like exactly the same ones here.
Right.
You thought of a top brand?
I have, yeah.
Very cool. Right. Think of that top brand, right, and think about getting mobile internet from them, but being unable to get mobile internet because you've not got a national insurance number, the correct bank account, the right documentation, i.e. passport, driving license, things like that, and then having to go back seven times with different bits of documentation to try and get the internet.
A nightmare, basically.
Yes.
How's things with you, Dan, in sunny Bolton?
Very well, thank you. I'm just eagerly awaiting the release of FIFA 11.
You mean our well-known computer game?
Yeah, that one. Well, they've paid me, though. They've actually paid me.
EA Sports are sponsoring you.
Yeah.
That's who we should introduce that from now on. Daniel Lomax, sponsored by EA Sports. It's
yeah, could get Man of the Pod and have a sponsor of Man of the Pod.
You should get on FIFA then. You should be like Andy Gray.
Right then, well, we'll kick off the show with a look back. Well, first of all, we'll look at the most recent game, which was, of course, the victory over Valencia in the Champions League on Wednesday. Dan, to go to the Mestalla and win, I mean, we haven't done it really very often, gone to Spain and picked up a win, but yeah, to go there, pick up the 1-0 win, played pretty well, didn't we? And, well, considering the draw against Rangers in the first game as well, it was important to get the 3 points, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the first half was pretty boring, pretty, you know, no one wanted to go and win it, really. But the second half, we came into it a bit more. Berbatov led the line well. Nani started coming in a bit more as well. And obviously, Hernandez came in off the bench and scoring. Well, I thought it was a wonderful goal, really. Great first touch and finish. And I mean, I expected a draw before the game, but to come away with a victory, it's very pleasing.
Dov, obviously, hero at the moment there, Hernandez. I mean, obviously showed his natural sort of goal-scoring ability and his real instinct in front of goal. But, yeah, he's got a really important goal. He's come off the bench. I mean, realistically, can he expect to start now at Sunderland?
Yeah, well, he's definitely put himself in the frame. I don't think he'll start because it's an away game, but I think he'll come on again. But, I mean, there's only so long you can keep him out over the starting 11 because if he's scoring goals, but he does come on for like 10 minutes or so, then he's got to get in eventually. And I think when he comes on, he does look lively as well, which is sort of something you say Berbatov doesn't look lively, but he scores goals, etc. I know before Dan starts and jumping down my throat. But he looks lively, it looks like he wants to score, he's got that desire, which is great to see. So if he keeps going the way he's going, when he does get his chances, it won't be long before he is in the starting lineup, though. Maybe not against Sunderland.
I think that Owen will start against Sunderland. Obviously, he scored a few goals in the last few games as well. I think he deserves a start. Especially if we go 4-4-2, I think he'll start with Berbatov up front.
think he will go 4-4-2 though. I mean, considering he tried it against Bolton, didn't he, and it didn't happen. Obviously the draw, but we'll discuss that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, do you expect him to go with that again, the same system?
Yeah, I think so. And I reckon Michael Carrick will probably get another start. I thought he did okay in midweek.
Really?
And I think I think he did okay. I mean, he looked a little bit sloppy in the first half, but I think, you know, as the game grew on, I think he grew into the game a bit more.
I was going to say, I've got written on my notes, disappointing night for Carrick and Park. But
I definitely agree with the Park one. I don't think he's played well all season, to be honest with you. But I think Carrick, you know, seeing as he's only just come back from injury, and it was his first game in a Champions League game away from home, you know, against a team that, you know, they do play with good intensity and the top of the Spanish league as well. So it's not an easy game to come into. But I thought he coped okay. I thought Anderson did okay as well. But I thought Fletcher was probably our best midfield player.
Yeah, you mentioned Anderson there. I think he really did relish, didn't he, playing just off of Berbatov. I know it didn't quite happen for him, sort of in terms of goal-scoring chances or anything, but he did play a couple of nice balls, especially in the first half. And he just seems to enjoy it a lot more. He seems to enjoy his game a lot more when he's unleashed, if you like, rather than being sort of kept on a leash and told you've got to sit in central midfield. He did sort of seem to enjoy bombing on and trying to get involved in more advanced positions, didn't he?
Well, yeah, we could probably do that now with Anderson. I mean, now that Fletcher's playing every week and you've got Carrick coming back and Scholes, who's going to sit as well. So you can let Anderson join in up front a little bit more. I thought he could have done a little bit better in terms of getting closer to Berbatov in the vital areas, but I thought he did okay. You can't complain about it.
You got to remember as well, I mean, that's his first like proper game for a long, long time. So, I mean, he's probably nowhere near match fit as well. So, I mean, obviously, the more games he gets, the more likely he's going to be able to get up to support Berbatov if he does play in the same position in that system again. But I was encouraged by that. I really like him. I think he's a good player with good potential. I think he's got that desire and that little spark that we possibly might need. I mean, I know, Steve, you've been crying out for an attacking midfielder for a little while. I mean, and if he comes on and doesn't get any more bad injuries, then he could be that one that we need.
I think what another good thing about that result was is the fact that, you know, we're playing players that aren't match fit yet properly. You know, Rio came back, he played well. Carrick, obviously, his first game for a while, and you just mentioned Anderson there. You know, that's three players that haven't played much this season.
Raphael's another.
Raphael, yeah, he slotted in okay. Got a bit of cramp towards the end, but three or four players there that haven't played all season, and we still come away with a clean sheet and a victory in Valencia. So, yeah, good result.
Yeah, it's he's probably thinking, like, when the fixtures came out, like with Rangers at home and then away at Valencia, you'd probably think, right, we'll get beat Rangers at home, then draw with Valencia.
Yeah, it's happened the way around.
It's the other way around, so you've still got 4 points nonetheless.
Before we move on to the Bolton game, Dov, Rio Ferdinand, obviously good to see him back alongside Nemanja Vidic. Did it help with sort of playing against a 4-5-1 system, the fact both of them sort of only had Soldado? I know he's a good player, but he didn't really play very well on the night, did he? Did that sort of help bed him in, if you like, and get the partnership rekindled? I mean, if they'd been up against two maybe pacey strikers who were looking to get in behind all the time, it might have been a slightly more difficult night.
Yeah, like I think you're right in what you say there. You've got two central defenders against one striker, whereas the full-backs would have had sort of more to deal with the wingers like Mata, Dominguez and the like. But like you say, he played well. And again, he's another one. He's not really had too many games recently, so it's a good game for him to bed in, I think. And it was I think Alex Ferguson said at the end of the match it was a real game for him, right? Not unlike the Rangers match and the Scunthorpe game as well. So I think it would have been a bit harder if he was playing against two players, but I think Sir Alex would have put him in if he was playing against two strikers up there anyway, because I think Dan texted me after the Bolton game and he just said the one solution to the problem with the defence, Rio Ferdinand, and that proved to be the case.
You're talking about that there. I mean, Dan, Johnny Evans, he's obviously, whether you call it harsh, I don't know, but he's come in for more criticism, hasn't he, after the first goal in particular. I mean, do you think that's all justified, or has Evans just been a bit unlucky, really? It just seems to have been, he's made a slight error and it's ended up costing a goal.
Fair enough, he could have challenged that night a little bit better. So that night might win that ball 9 times out of 10, though, really, you think, with his height advantage and stuff. But, you know, the goal could have been prevented on so many other levels, especially on the fact that Evra wasn't even on the post. He was like 2 or 3 yards you know, inside the goal, and it was like, and he tried, obviously tried to get there, but he couldn't make it. But I noticed as well that through the rest of the game that everyone was doing the same thing. He wasn't standing on the post, he was standing nearer to Van der Sar, and it's, he must have been told that, because you don't make the same mistake twice, especially when you're letting a goal in the first like few minutes, it was, wasn't it? So, yeah, disappointed with that. But I think Evans, people are just blaming him really because he's young and he's a centre-half, and the other team's always going to play against a young centre-half, aren't they? They're not going to go and put up someone against Vidic when he's going to win the ball 9 times out of 10. They're going to go on Johnny Evans, aren't they?
What was all this about him being dropped against Valencia? I mean, he wasn't even in the squad. What do you think's brought that about?
Maybe he just needs a break, though, Steve. I mean, he's only a young lad. I mean, he played a lot of games last season. Has he played every game this season, I think? So it's probably the time he had a bit of a break from the game. You can't really play him in every game, especially when he's getting criticised. His confidence must be a bit low at the moment, and just taking him out for a few weeks might help it and gradually bring him back in.
Well, you're defending up there, Dan. I'm gonna stick it in again. For that, watching the game, just sort of like watching him, there's a few times where he just didn't know where the attackers were. He was looking around, and one of the bottom left forwards went one way and went another way, and he just didn't know where to go. And then a shot went on goal, which, I mean, you say he's young and stuff like that, but I mean that's schoolboy, Dan. You can't do that.
No, I mean I'm not defending his performance, but I think that it's the fact that he's accumulated a lot of games. And we weren't saying this last year when he marked Drogba out of the game and stuff like that, and he played him off the park, and it's just players have bad games, and he's just having a little bit of a bad spot at the moment.
Fair enough. Dov, obviously there was a big incentive to win, wasn't there, considering the fact that Chelsea had lost, Arsenal had lost as well. So in that sense, is it really 2 points lost rather than the 1 point gained?
Well, I think, well, you're still gaining a point on Chelsea, but I would say it was 2 points lost. As a game we all expected to go and win, it's one that we should be going to win, especially with the team that we put out, and it's not happening. It seems to be the same sort of defensive errors that are costing us goals. We could have been at the top of the league and well in front of Chelsea if we had managed to sort of keep points that we should have had. And
sorry, if you went back to at the end of the season, I know it's a long way, long, long way away yet, but say we were to lose the title, I mean, would we look back and say, oh, it was the draws against the likes of Fulham away, Everton away, Bolton away? I mean, at the moment, can you see Chelsea going to places like that and dropping points? Or, like, we called them the machine so many times, but I mean, could that defeat to Man City, could that derail them slightly? Obviously, they've got Arsenal this weekend. That'll be a tough game for them, and that could be, well, I think we said it in the last show, didn't we? That's going to be the major test, even more so than City, perhaps.
Yeah, no, definitely. We did. We said that the first, like, they've had relatively easy fixtures up until now, and then I think Arsenal was the first proper test. I mean, in their say we'll call it a half test against City, and they didn't pass that. So we'll see how they got on when they start playing more difficult teams. But when we're playing teams like Everton, Fulham, and Bolton, right, they're not the easiest teams to play, but they're teams that we should be looking to defeat away from home, and we're not doing it. And we just lost the league title last season. I mean, if we had beat Burnley away, then we'd have likely been league champions. So even this early in the season, just little results can make a huge difference come May.
Okay, well, we'll move it on to Club Cabbage and Player of the Week now then. Dan, obviously very, very good night at the Mestalla. So is your Player of the Week connected to that at all?
A little bit, yeah. I'm going to go with Nani. I thought that his goal on Sunday against Bolton was fantastic, the way he was taking players on, committing people, and it was a great finish as well. And I thought that he played a good part in the goal against Valencia as well, on the right-hand side, linking it up with Makeda and Hernandez finishing off. So I think Nani, again, is going to get Player of the Week.
Dov?
I would love to second Dan's choice as Player of the Week. I thought Mane has had a fantastic week for us. Although I'm tempted to go with Hernandez, and I think that's where I'm going to go. One for getting the goal, was only on for 10 minutes, but the result which it gave us was a victory away, which we will badly need. So he's my Player of the Week this week.
Well, I'm going to give it to Michael Owen, because I think a defeat at Bolton, no, it's basic really, but a defeat at Bolton does look a hell of a lot worse than getting the point, and at least we can say, well, we've gained a point on Chelsea. So I think it was a hugely important goal. The fact he'd scored the two against Scunthorpe as well, and then obviously dropped to the bench, that could have hurt a lot of players' confidence, but not Owen. He sort of knows when he's needed. He still comes up with the goods. And yeah, so Michael Owen for me this week. What about Club Cabbage then? Dolph, start with you.
I'm giving it to Wayne Rooney because he was terrible against Bolton at the weekend and then obviously out of the team against Valencia. So I think there's something, obviously we know what's going on, but I think it's a lot deeper than what we maybe thought. So he's my cabbage of the week this week.
Dan?
I'm going to go with Ji-Sung Park, I think. I thought he was pretty poor against Valencia, didn't offer anything attacking-wise and didn't do much defensively. Didn't do much at all game.
Okay, I'm going to insult Dan's intelligence and give it to Michael Carrick. I thought he was awful, to be honest. Fair enough, it's his first game back since the Community Shield, isn't it? Well, his first start since the Community Shield, which I think probably contributed a lot to it. But yeah, I think he gave away possession. I don't know if you noticed on the cross that Soldado should have scored, the free header. The empty goal, really, what he put over. He should have really picked him up there. Evra as well was a bit culpable too, but yeah, I just thought he was poor. Hey, each to their own on that one. So Michael Carrick for me.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, it's reserves review time now on the RedCafe.net podcast. Dov, you've got a couple of games to look back at. One thumping win and one, well, I don't know if it's disappointing draw, but one draw.
Indeed, I have, Steve. We'll start with the thumping when that happened last week in the Manchester Senior Cup, where United played Bolton Wanderers at Moss Lane. And Nicky Adjose, he managed to grab a 16-minute hat-trick to help United on the way to a 4-0 victory. Interestingly enough, the striker also received a senior squad number earlier in the week as well. So it's been a good sort of couple of weeks for the young man there. First half was pretty rubbish, to be honest. Nothing really happened, but then second half was fantastic. Obviously, four goals, hit the woodwork three times and loads of other chances as well. Broke the deadlock just after the hour. Brady fed Corey Evans in the midfielder. His pass caught the Bolton defence, so square, and then Adjose, he just arced a fine finish past Lainton's post in the Bolton goal. And this was basically the straw that broke the camel's back as such, where United were just there on top for the rest of the half. Stewart then sprung the offside trap and had two choices, either to shoot or to square it to Adjose. But instead of squaring it to Adjose, struck down the side of the crossbar. Though Adjose was displeased by that, he got his second goal not long after. Magnus Ekrem picked out a run from Gabriel Obertam, and then his cross was fired home in the far post by Adjose. And basically, from here, obviously, two goals in 5 minutes, and United well on top here. Magnus Ekrem again was fantastic. He was tormenting the visitors with his sort of vision and passing. Obviously, Adjose got his hat trick on 79 minutes, and then there was one more goal in the wings for United. Happens in the 90th minute. It was a great goal. Lots of nice passing, and then Obertan slipped the pass to Coffey, who smashed a shot past Leighton into the inside of the post there. And it was 4-0 to United in the Senior Cup. So looks like that we're going to get to another final for that. So there's four group stage wins. So looks like another final appearances in the offing. The second game was against Blackburn Rovers. This was away in the Reserve Premier League, and it wasn't quite so good. It was a 2-2 draw. Like I say, Robbie Brady's first half penalty that was overturned by goals from Jason Roberts and Junior Holliott. And then captain for the day, Magnus Ekrem, he sort of snatched the point with the last meaningful sort of act to the game. Deep into the fourth minute of stoppage time, ran to the cliff, found Ekrem on the edge of the area, and then he just waited for opening, burst into space, and then drilled a low shot past fielding in the Blackburn goal. And it went in, luckily for United, to give us a 2-2 draw there. So, not bad result, and then a very, very good result. And that last minute equaliser from Ekrem as well sparked stunning celebrations, well teams from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who he seems to have instilled that United spirit and resolve into his side as well. I mean, they do like a last minute goal, so it's definitely good to see. And I hope we get some more good results in the future.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, everybody, it's that time on the RedCafe.net podcast where we have an opposition fan on the line. And we have Colin Randall on the line. He's from SallySunderland.com. And we had his colleague Peter Sixsmith on last season. So, Colin, welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Pleased to be with you.
Excellent stuff. It's a pleasure to have you on. And we'll get right into it, talking about your side, Sunderland. Firstly, do you think you can beat us at the weekend? Obviously, you've had some good results against the likes of Arsenal, Manchester City, Liverpool, and then some not-so-good results against the likes of West Ham and Wigan. So you seem to be playing reasonably well against some of the bigger sides. I would maybe call that inconsistency as such, but do you think you can get a result against the biggest of the big sides at the weekend?
Well, we can get a result against anyone, and we can, as we've shown, throw away games against anyone too. We've been totally inconsistent. If we'd played as well against Wigan, Birmingham and West Brom as we have against the three much grander clubs, Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool, would be in the top six. As it happens, we've won only once, and that was against City. And we seem to lack the cutting edge to finish off a game or hold on to a lead. I know we're early in the season, so things could change. Man U at home is never a fixture that I look forward to with any great level of expectation. But you know, we've done well against Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, so why not against United?
You said there sort of it's early on in the season. Sorry. What are your expectations there? You're sitting sort of in mid-table, but you've only won one game so far, and you invested quite a lot in the summer, spending it, I was at 13 million on the likes of Asamoah Gyan. He's looking to get into Europe, or he's maybe looking to sort of get a safe mid-table finish?
Well, we've been nowhere near getting into Europe since the two seasons under Peter Reid, where we finished seventh top. I'd be absolutely over the moon if we got into Europe. I'm looking for an improvement on last season. 13th was a very poor showing, but after the long run without a win in the mid-season, it was probably about what we deserved. We could still have finished higher. The owner, Ellis Short, had set top 10 as his target, and we should have achieved that. Anything less than 10 would disappoint me this season. Anything more than that would be encouraging and welcome, and obviously the higher you went, the more thrilling it would become. But 50 years of supporting Sunderland has induced a degree of pessimism in my approach.
Oh, you shouldn't be that bad, Colin. You've got some United connections there. I'm going to go with one of the player first. You've got Danny Welbeck on loan. How has he been getting on since he joined you guys?
Oh. He had a cracking game a couple of weeks ago, but that was for England under 21. He's shown some excellent touches for us. I hope he'll get a decent run and build on the promise that he's already shown. I know a lot of United fans rate him very highly, and I think that there's every possibility that he'll become a very good Premier player, I hope, with us.
And do you think he'll break into your side by the end of the season, or do you think he's going to be behind the likes of Gian, Darren Bent, Fraser Campbell, and the like?
Up until now, with Gian not being match fit, which you might find surprising when you pay £13 million for him, but up until now, Welbeck's been a candidate for the starting 11 with Gian on the bench, liable to come on to the second half or part of the second half. And obviously Gian will play more and more as he becomes more attuned to the pace and the fitness level required in the Premier. I think Welbeck will be an important part of the setup. He'll always be either in the starting lineup or on the bench, and I think he'll start getting a few goals for us.
And then the other connection to United that you guys have is your manager, Steve Bruce. How do you feel he's getting on as your boss? Obviously, he's got 13th last season. Obviously, he's looking to improve this season. I mean, how are you happy with him?
Well, I think he's done a steady job so far. I wouldn't put it higher. I wasn't hugely enthusiastic when he was appointed, but that probably had a tribal element to it, you know, the Newcastle thing. But I'd also vaguely hoped that we'd have a big international name coming in. But I think he was actually the right man for the job. And despite the awful run last season, you know, went without a win for so long, I think that he steadied the ship towards the end, and he's made some astute purchases in the postseason. And now he's got his squad. He spent a lot of money. He's got his players in place. The test starts now.
Indeed. Well, let's hope he does well, because you know, as we do, that Sir Alex Ferguson's time at the helm of United is probably coming to an end sooner rather than later. He's obviously going to be one of the guys linked with the job, being a former player and captain and the like. Do you think he's got it in him to take, which is arguably the biggest job in football?
You'd struggle to say on his managerial experience so far that he was an obvious successor to Sir Alex. But of course, you know, he's been with clubs which, although their fans, myself included, would regard themselves as superior to United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, are clearly not in any rational analysis. He's yet to prove himself at the very top in management. If he were to achieve something with Sunderland, serious, you know, a trophy, an FA Cup final maybe, we've already blown the Carling Cup, then he would, you know, or get into Europe, then he would become a much more logical candidate. But as things stand, I wouldn't have thought that was realistic. I think that Man U would look elsewhere.
Let's hope he does well nonetheless. Right, Colin, I'm going to take you into the realms of fantasy for a second or two. Pretend that Sunderland have more money than Manchester City and you need a player, and you can only buy from Manchester United. Which player would you buy, and why would you buy him?
Right, I'm going to be distinctly unfashionable here and say I wouldn't have any of the sort of younger stars. I wouldn't take Evra because I think that his part in the French mutiny was disgraceful. I wouldn't want him anything of mine. I wouldn't take Nani because I don't like people who dive for a living. And I wouldn't take necessarily one or two of the other excellent players, you know, for different reasons. Johnny Evans, I've always liked Johnny Evans, and obviously because he had a great time with us. I'd always have him in the team. And I always had this fancy that, you know, Paul Scholes might fancy coming to Sunderland, along with Ryan Giggs, to see out the sort of twilight of their careers. So, unfashionable as that might seem an answer, I'd go for any one of those three.
Well, let's be honest, Scholes and Giggs are fantastic players, so I mean, they would be most welcome on your side, indeed. But with the game coming up the weekend, Colin, I need to get a prediction off you. How do you think the game will go, and can you give us a score as well?
Right. It could go anyway, obviously. Last season we played better at Old Trafford than we did in the corresponding game at the Stadium of Light, when I thought you were comfortable winners. Let's put romance ahead of reality, and I'll say we'll beat you 2-1.
Oh, controversial. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Colin. You can go and visit Colin's website. It's Salut Sunderland, and that's Salut, like the French word, .com. We'll put a link up on the site as well. But Colin, it's been a pleasure having you on, and thank you very much.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast.
Well, then we'll look ahead to Saturday's Premier League encounter with Sunderland ourselves now. Dan, Dov's obviously spoken about it there in the interview. They've held Arsenal and already beaten City this season. It's not going to be easy, is it? I know they've only won one game in the Premier League, but no, it never is an easy game at the Stadium of Light.
No, it's always a tough place to go, and I think it'll be equally hard this time around. Like you say, they've had some good results this season already, and they are a bit inconsistent. But it's against the big teams where, you know, they seem to have done okay this year, so I'm a bit apprehensive going into the game. I would definitely take a scrappy 1-0 win like we got in Valencia. Yeah, I just think we need to get that win away from home in the league just to sort of kickstart the season a little bit. You know, having three draws already and conceding a few goals as well, we need We need to limit the amount of goals we're letting in. That's an obvious statement, but it's something that we definitely need to be looking at. And hopefully Rio can play alongside Vidic again.
Dov, in terms of personnel and a team, I think we touched on that earlier. Would you be tempted to go with a 4-5-1 and Berbatov up front on his own with sort of flanked by like Nani and Park perhaps on the other side, or Giggs, of course, if he's fit? Or would you be more tempted to throw out the 4-4-2 and really have a go at him?
I think he'll go with the 4-5-1 just because of recent results where we have let sort of points slip, like we mentioned earlier. So I think he'll go with... I don't think he'll go with Park Ji-sung because I think, one, he's not in very good form, and two, he's a bit too defensive-minded and more a player that's sort of put in to stop other players other than create, well, or create chances. So I think he might... I think we maybe see a run up from Gabriel Obertan or Giggs, like you say, so somebody like that on the left. Obviously Nani on the right with Berbatov through the middle. So it'll be interesting though. I want to see who puts in midfield. That'll be much more interesting to see whether Anderson can keep his place or Carrick, or if you're going to get the likes of Scholes and Fletcher, one of the other two, something like that. But that'll be a lot more interesting, I think.
Yeah, just reading up, actually, it's looking like Giggs might miss a couple of weeks, so could be a chance there, maybe for Obertan, but he might go with Park again. We'll wait and see. But what about prediction then, Dov? You think we're gonna get the win?
Oh, it's dangerous, these predictions. I think we're going to... Actually, I'm gonna try reverse psychology. I think I'm going to go with the opposition fan Colin Randall, and I think Sunderland are going to win 2-1.
Okay. Let's hope that reverse psychology works out for us. But that is just about the end of episode 49, one away from the half century of the redcafe.net podcast. Remember, you can email us on the usual address, as it always is, podcast@redcafe.net. It just leaves us to say, well, thanks a lot for listening once again, and make sure you tune in again for next week's show. We'll be right back.